From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. It's budget season again, and Juneau City leaders are projecting another year of spending more than the city brings in. But City Manager Rory Watt told members of the Juneau Assembly's Finance Committee that it could be worse. The city is supposed to get $12.8 million from the latest federal economic stimulus bill.
Not to say that it'll be a slam dunk, but the position we find ourselves in, nearly $13 million to the better, it makes for a substantially different budget season.
Those funds could go a long way toward filling Juneau's budget gap, depending on how Assembly members decide to spend them. In his budget message to the Assembly, Watt said residents will probably want to use that funding to support Juneau's struggling families and businesses, but he also noted that there is more than $1 billion coming to the state government that could benefit people who need help as well. The city's finance office is projecting that it will bring in slightly more money next year than it did last year, but Watt's budget assumes that life will be slow to return to normal, while the city might see an uptick in independent travelers this year, the lack of a cruise season will still be a huge hit. Still, Watt's budget is not balanced. It anticipates an almost $8 million shortfall that the city will have to absorb. This budget isn't final. Assembly members ultimately must decide on how the money will be spent. They'll be meeting every week to talk about it through the end of May. That includes this coming Wednesday, April 14th, when they'll be hearing from the Airport, Hospital, and Eagle Crest. They'll also be talking about the latest federal stimulus package and what it means for the city. In other news, experts say the COVID-19 vaccine offers Alaska a way out of the pandemic that's hammered its economy for the past year, but a big chunk of the population is wary of the shots. That's presenting employers with a dilemma. Do you mandate the vaccine, give workers incentives, or find another way to encourage them? Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media checked in with executives about how they're approaching the problem.
Emily Polensky's job is preventing the spread of infections at two different nursing and rehab homes in the Mat-Su, operated by a company called Maple Springs. She says her work for the past year has been tough. She calls it a constant squeeze on her heart. So Polensky was pretty excited when the COVID-19 vaccine became available.
It's been said that this is the answer to the prayer that we all prayed for. That's what the vaccine is. It's this light at the end of the tunnel.
Polensky and her colleagues have worked hard to promote the vaccine's safety and effectiveness. At her company's facility in Wasilla, vaccination rates have bumped up from a quarter of staff to nearly half. But in Palmer, Polensky says rates are at more like one-third. She says that's because of concerns about the vaccine's unknown long-term effects and misplaced fears. She says the company has considered incentives, but employees say they wouldn't make much of a difference. Requiring the vaccine is not on the table either.
We try to really approach it from the education aspect, just like, listen, you're working with the people who are the most vulnerable to these diseases. You don't want to get them sick. We know you don't want to get them sick. You know, sometimes that is enough encouragement for people to receive it, and sometimes it just isn't.
Polensky's company is in one of the most vaccine-skeptical parts of Alaska, and it's taking a relatively gentle approach toward pushing its workers to get the shots. But others are more aggressive.
My clientele base and my crew are very much of the mindset that the vaccine is the best thing we can do for our fellow man.
Dan Blanchard is chief executive of Seattle-based UnCruise Adventures, which is running small boat cruises in Southeast Alaska this summer. The company earlier this spring decided to require the COVID-19 vaccine for both customers and crew. Blanchard says UnCruise has seen some nasty comments on social media, but otherwise people have been receptive. He estimates he's lost just 40 out of 4,000 customers, and just 4 out of 300 crew are opting out on this season based on vaccine alone.
I mean, I literally had crew members hopping into my office in tears, saying, thank you so much for doing this. You know, I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to work because I just couldn't bring myself to being in, you know, an unvaccinated situation.
So at this point in the story, you might be asking, can he do that? UnCruise's lawyers say the company is on solid legal ground, but Gregory Fisher, an Anchorage employment attorney, says the issue of COVID-19 vaccine mandates is a big legal gray area. especially because the shots are only authorized on an emergency basis, not fully approved. Fisher says it may depend on employers' individual circumstances. It's probably easier for a hospital, for example, to make the case that unvaccinated employees pose a threat than, say, a remotely working graphic design firm. But at the Matsu Assisted Living Homes, Polensky, the infection prevention specialist, says her company isn't one to mandate shots, whether it's for the flu or COVID-19, yet it's still contending with a workforce that's less than half vaccinated.
I feel like we are at a plateau point. It's not a matter of rolling it out or making it available or anything like that. It's a matter of choice. And until people make those choices, I don't see our numbers changing a whole lot.
One thing she and others say could help are incentives outside companies' control, like if airlines, foreign countries, or U.S. states start using vaccine passports. Then there's the potential for vaccinated people to avoid travel quarantines and those pesky nasal swabs for COVID-19 tests. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
The state's COVID-19 vaccination effort continued in Alaska's easternmost corner over the weekend. Many of the 50-odd residents of the tiny southeast community of Hyder received their second doses on Saturday, KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
After cradling a cooler full of Moderna vaccine on a 90-minute float plane ride to Hyder, a pair of state public health nurses set up shop in the town hall and got to work. Teresa Ruzek says vaccinating far-flung communities like these are an exciting perk of the job.
I get to meet unique people with unique different life stories, and I get to bring vaccine, which to me kind of is equivalent to freedom, you know? I mean, because I think that this is our road out of these restrictions.
For Hyder, the only road out runs through British Columbia. At the head of Portland Canal and surrounded by 4,000-foot-tall mountain peaks, it's isolated from the rest of Alaska. That makes this town of about 50 very close with its Canadian neighbors. Caroline Stewart owns Boundary Gallery and Gifts, a small shop she runs when there are summer tourists. She's lived in Hyder for nearly 5 decades. Standing on the back porch, she says this past year has been especially tough.
It's been hell. It's just been hell.
Not just because of the pandemic, but because of travel restrictions at the border aimed at curbing its spread. Hyder's residents arguably couldn't live here without their neighboring town.
Yeah, we've got the post office. We've got the town hall. We have Forest Service in the summer. Okay, I'm done. That's it. That's what we have.
But just 3 miles down the road, through a Canadian customs checkpoint, is Stewart, British Columbia. It has about 400 people, and that's where people shop for groceries, buy their fuel, and get just about everything.
Best damned neighbors you will ever find. The history going back to 1920, we have always shared 2 countries, 1 community. Nothing's changed.
But Canada's border has been closed to all but essential travel for about a year now. Hyder residents are allowed to cross over to shop for essentials, and kids can attend school, but they can't play sports or attend sleepovers. There are no cross-border dinner parties, no socializing allowed with friends and neighbors.
So I can go buy bread, I can go buy wine, but I cannot go to church and get communion.
And it's been hard for Canadians on the other side of the border, too. Stewart resident Jane Beaumont says the border closure has made it tough for people on her side to fish to fill their freezers.
There isn't a reliable boat launch in Stewart, and so a lot of people rely on the boat launch in Hyder. Also, too, these communities rely on each other heavily for support. It divides families when that border is closed.
She's been unable to haul firewood or shovel snow for her mother, who lives on the Alaska side and is in her 70s. So dozens of people were excited to turn out for a recent Alaska State Public Health Clinic where 2 Ketchikan-based nurses administered a few dozen shots. Some Canadian neighbors even showed up to take advantage of some leftover doses so they wouldn't be wasted. Alaskans are having an easier time getting the vaccine. The state opened vaccinations to everyone 16 and older last month. But in Canada, supplies are limited and eligibility remains restricted. Even those who do get a shot have had to wait around 16 weeks for a second dose. That's far longer than the 3 or 4 recommended by the manufacturer to be fully vaccinated. That means while about a fifth of the residents of northern BC have gotten their first dose, only about 1% of the population has received their second shot. By contrast, about a third of Alaskans have received at least one dose of the vaccine, and second shots are widely available. Back at the gift shop, Caroline Stewart says she hopes the shot will give her a chance to resume her life as a snowbird. She's usually in Arizona this time of year.
I don't know how sure I am of the vaccine. I just know that if I have the vaccine, it's very likely travel will be easier for me.
And, crucially, easier for tourists who cross the border for bear viewing at a U.S. Forest Service overlook.
That was Eric Stone reporting in Hyder, and this is KTOO News.